Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisop. Today, we're wrapping up this Nickelodeon talk. I'm done with it. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I gave you part one where we talked about that entire docuseries, Quiet on Set, about the, you know, abuse from Nickelodeon higher-ups, creative forces and such. And today we're going to do part two, where we cover deeper allegations that were not covered on the docuseries. And this is, of course, going to be much seedier, much more allegedlies. This is more Hollywood gossip tabloidy stuff, so take none of this as the end-all be-all truth. This is all shady, dark corners of the internet. Probably half of it's not true, all right? Probably. So we're going to talk about Dan Schneider's wife. We're going to talk about Amanda Bynes' supposed secret Twitter account with claims against John Travolta and Dan Schneider, and claims that Dan Schneider was impregnating a bunch of famous girls. We'll talk about Robert Downey Jr., not the Iron Man. We're going to talk about Ariana Grande and her Kabbalistic roots and some strange video I talked about years and years ago about her trying to pull out her teeth. And then we're going to talk about some other Nickelodeon pervs that weren't covered. We're talking about Ren and Stimpy creator. We're going to talk about Liz Gillies from Victorious marrying an older dude that was on set. You know, I don't even want to talk about this stuff anymore. I do not want to research one more thing on this. I hate it. It's the worst. It's the grossest. It's a dark topic. I don't know. Let's get into it. We're just going to go forward, all right? Now, I remember back in the day people talking about Nickelodeon, and the conspiracy used to be that, well, the term Nickelodeon refers to adult performative videos that they used to watch old-timey with the crank, and you put your head in the little visor thing, you know? But Nickelodeon, the definition refers to the first movie theaters, because they used to be a nickel back in the 1905 to 1915, they would watch these 10 to 15 minute shows. And, you know, like all technology, it goes to smut, because that's what we as humans gravitate towards. All right. So I don't know. I'd give that a partial truth, that conspiracy that Nickelodeon is based upon smut, which obviously makes it super inappropriate right off the bat, the name of the network. But the truth refers to, you know, old-timey movies. But Hollywood scandal and conspiracies about dark sides of Hollywood, this is nothing new. This has been going on forever, you know? Especially when it comes to occult symbolism and occult conspiracies. Look at Kenneth Anger's book, Hollywood Babylon, that I have a copy of right over here. It talks about the golden age of Hollywood. It talks about old-timeys like Fatty Arbuckle. You know, Fatty Arbuckle raping and murdering somebody. I mean, it's crazy, crazyville. Judy Garland being abused. That's a famous story. Like, they were putting her on all these drugs to keep her weight off. So, you know, this is nothing new. This has all been around forever. Will it change? I don't know. And maybe that was the aim of the documentary, to say, hey, we should stop doing this. Which, obviously, yes, we should stop doing this. Now, I'm going to read you from BuzzFeed about Brian Peck's charges, because I don't think they specifically laid them out on the documentary. And I just thought we should do that. On BuzzFeed's website, it says, Peck was originally charged with 11 counts against the child actor, referring to Drake Bell. At the time, I think they wrote this, he was probably anonymous still. These included a lewd act upon a child, sodomy of a person under 16, attempted sodomy of a person under 16, sexual penetration by a foreign object, 4 counts of oral copulation of a person under 16, oral copulation by anesthesia or controlled substance, sending harmful matter, and using a minor for sex acts. Peck ended up pleading no contest to just 2 of the 11 counts, lewd act upon a child and oral copulation. He was found guilty of both in court, and the remaining counts were subsequently dismissed. So obviously we don't know that he wasn't convicted on those other things. Does that mean he's out the hook? I mean, I don't know. It's weird that Nickelodeon would go ahead and rehire the guy. Dan Schneider, let's talk about him again. His wife, they didn't talk about this either. His wife is a very famous woman. Her name is Lisa Lillian, and she is the personality behind Hungry Girl, which might sound weird to younger people. I'm old enough that I remember back in the day, you used to visit websites in the morning. You'd have all your little bookmarks, and you'd check each one and see what's going on. And I actually used to follow Hungry Girl. I think it was just the blog back then. I don't remember. It was a short-lived moment for me. She might have been on Dr. Oz or something. She's very famous. She made nutritional recipes and, I don't know, things like that. I think it was mostly for nutrition-conscious folks, if I'm not mistaken. That's probably why I was following it. Because, as you know, my first red pill was health. That was the first thing that made me start thinking, man, there's something weird with our culture that doesn't make sense. But Lisa has a degree in communication, not nutrition, which is very strange. But I mean, not too strange, right? I don't have a degree in occult religious studies, but I certainly read the heck out of it. My degree is in engineering. So, you know, I'm not going to condemn her for that. Same with Giorgio Tsoukalos. I think he went to school for, I don't know, marketing or something. He's not an archaeologist at all. Most of those ancient alien guys aren't. Does it change anything? I mean, not really. It's just something to be aware of. Now, Hungry Girl, she still has 290,000 followers on, I think, her Instagram. So, I mean, she's definitely not nothing. She's definitely still cooking, pun intended. I'm going to read you from the Wikipedia. For 5 years, Lillian was online executive producer for TV Land and director of convergence development at Nickelodeon Online. Next, she was a producer for new media at Telepictures Warner Brothers. She quit her job and started the Hungry Girl brand in 2004 with a weekly email. She has averaged over 1 million subscribers. Ooh, buddy, that's some big dollars. A million subscribers. I'm assuming they're referring to her email list. I don't know. I don't know what that means. But man, that's big bucks. But these two have been married since 2002, and they were dating clear back to the 1990s. So she was married to him during all of this. Does that change anything? I don't know. I mean, the documentary clearly made it look like he was a jerk. I believe that. Does that mean that he wouldn't be messing with kids? No, I mean, that doesn't exonerate you, but I don't know. Like I said, this is all the sort of extra stuff that I thought they should have maybe gone into. Maybe they will in the part four that I read that they're going to make. I don't know. Next, Amanda Bynes allegedly has a secret Twitter account. I'm going to read you from Distractify. But the backstory here is that she quit acting in 2010. Like all these other child actors who get abused and traumatized, got a bunch of DUIs, marijuana possession charge. Her parents put her on a conservatorship in 2013. And after this, around 2016 is when she started allegedly tweeting from this secret account under this fake name of Ashley Banks, because she was under a conservatorship at this time. Now, Ashley Banks, that is, of course, a name from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which ties us into Will Smith, which ties us into the slap. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. What does that matter? But her Twitter account handle is at PersianLA27. It's private. I friend requested. No response yet. The 27 is interesting. Makes me think of the 27 Club. The year that a lot of young celebrities mysteriously die. Okay, back to Distractify. In an effort to confirm her identity, what appeared to be a half-concealed photo of a portion of Amanda Bynes' driver's license was tweeted from the Ashley Banks account. In a series of tweets from her now deactivated account, well, that's not true. I think it's set to private. Bynes accused her father of abusing her as a child. quote, "Can you imagine having an abortion at 13 because your boss impregnated you? Committed because your father touched you?" End quote. The official Amanda account replied by saying this, quote, "I've been forced to deny this account to prevent them from having me committed against my will again." Now, allegedly, it goes on to talk about this coded message to this gossip blog called Crazy Day and Night, which comes up a lot in this research. It was, I don't think it's a blog anymore, but there's archived pages of it where a lot of, they call blind items, a lot of supposed celebrities were secretly sending messages over on this blog or something. And the message was about Dan Schneider. They put, it gets very allegedly. She put multiple all caps messages on multiple messages. And if you connected them and spelled out the caps words, it spelled out Dan did it. But they were talking about all this stuff before the documentary, so seems a bit odd. Liz Crokin, I think she was one of the big Q tweeters, so I question her. Did you see Donald Trump selling Bibles for $60? Oh my goodness. She posted about all this. And I should note that I'm recording this at least, I don't know, probably a week before I'm going to release it, because I got some sticks in the fire and I got to sort of time my show releases. So some of this might be old news by the time you hear it. I don't know. We'll see. But Liz Crokin posted about all this, and she claimed that John Travolta, Amanda Bynes did, the secret Amanda Bynes account, allegedly, claimed that John Travolta was always with men in his trailer, implying that his behavior was bad because she would hashtag the messages, hashtag Bill Cosby. It's very Diddy-ish, right? It seems weird that this homosexual angle is really a thing anymore. Does anybody care? I mean, I get the older folks probably do, because they grew up in a world where that was really, really frowned upon. But then, you know, my generation and younger, it's, you know, not that big of a deal. Who cares if you're gay? But whatever. They're still using it to sort of blackmail people. And I, let's see here. Oh, and then if you go to that Amanda Bynes, the Ashley Banks, you know, secret account there, the link that is provided takes you to a Venmo page, and it's asking for donations to Amanda B, which maybe that's Amanda Bynes. Maybe it's someone pretending to be Amanda Bynes to try to get money now. So now I'm like, well, it's hard to tell, folks. It's hard to tell. Kyle Marisa Roth posted a TikTok talking about this 2013 blind items video, which is, it's very confusing. And so I had to dig around. And what I think she's claiming is that Robert Downey Jr. was allegedly this anonymous poster concerned about Dan Schneider and Amanda Bynes. And he wrote about a pregnancy that her father forced her to abort because it was allegedly Dan Schneider's baby. I had to go to a Reddit post from 8 years ago, and someone said that the same blog, Crazy Day Nights, had an anonymous user named believed to be Robert Downey Jr. It says on the post, "Robert Downey Jr. came up as a top candidate after the posted a long list of decent people they knew personally in Hollywood as a counterpoint to all the sleaze and rumors about a-holes in Hollywood the account had posted. Jezebel and a few other blogs picked up on the story and checked the list against Robert Downey Jr., and he had worked with or was known friends with everyone on the list. One of the names was his agent." Interesting. But again, I don't know. Ariana Grande. I will still respect Ariana Grande for this part two. And I will not do the voice, because I feel bad for her now. But the next time she does something Illuminate Confirm, you're getting the little Ariana Grande. The world's worst impersonation. She just has like a really nasally sound to her voice that I've never understood. But anyway, I'm shocked she wasn't in the documentary. And it's probably because I mean, I'm going to guess things worked out okay for her in the end. She's okay with the fame that she received. She's currently got the number one album, which is called Eternal Sunshine, by the way, which obviously refers to the Jim Carrey film, Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind, a fantastic movie if you've never seen it, about Montauk and MK Ultra experimenting. In fact, that was I watched that when it came out. This is, reminds me of my good old days, back before I had to blog about everything and write up film analysis. I just enjoyed movies for what they were, and I really loved that movie. I was like, oh, this is great. This is a real mental, psychedelic-y conspiracy film. Because Jim Carrey was knocking out bangers when he stopped doing comedy. Because the comedy thing to me, I liked Ace Ventura 1, but then it kind of was like silly to me after that, because I was a child when that one came out. And I didn't really dig his comedies, but man, when he started doing serious roles, like Man on the Moon, Eternal Sunshine, what's the one about the old-timey movie theater? The what was it called? The Mirage or something? Anyway, you know what I'm saying. Man, he put out some good-ass movies. And I need to do a whole show about Jim Carrey. I've got so many notes and stories of things that he's done over the years that he's definitely either Illuminate confirmed, or he's definitely trying to expose Illuminate confirmed. I don't know the answer to that. But she shows, if you watch the music video for the Ariana Grande, I don't know the name of the video. It's the new one with Evan Peters, the guy from American Horror Story. It shows us the left eye, all-seeing eye symbolism with the Masonic floors. I'll put the image on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe. But let's talk about a 2014 post I made on my website years ago. Is Ariana Grande in the Illuminati? Where I talk about this weird video I saw. And when I watched this quiet on set, I realized, oh my gosh, that video I saw was one of these weird extra scenes that Dan Schneider had filmed, which kind of explains it away and explains it. Yeah, it was just some weird stuff they made her do. I'm going to read you from my now defunct and canceled and blog about a commenter named MK Ultra provided a link to a video of Ariana Grande put out with Liz Gillies, who we're going to talk about in a second, that is creepy indeed. They run around a house acting possessed or something. You can see at a minute 59, they appear to be pulling their teeth out, which is exactly what Margot Kidder did in real life, the actress who played Lois Lane in the original Superman films and also starred in the original Amityville horror movie. Some theorists claim she pulled her teeth because she... This is referring to Margot Kidder. Some theorists claim she pulled her teeth because she thought she could avoid the aliens that way. The Guardian writes it slightly differently. Quote, paranoid, convinced her first husband was out to kill her, she ran away and lived rough. To avoid being recognized, she hacked her hair off and pulled out some teeth to alter her dental records. Homeless, confused, she acquired a stalker and narrowly avoided a rape attack. She was found shivering under a family's porch near the studios where Superman was shot. Police intervention saved her and she got back on track. Tragic story. That's terrible. You know, mental illness is real. And anyway, let me read you from my blog. Even with just that, isn't it odd she would pull her teeth out and then hang out near the film studio? Hollywood is so strange. Getting back to Ariana, here's a screenshot where you can see her and she's pulling out her teeth. It appears she's pulling out her teeth in the image. And I should note that Ariana Grande was the second time I got kicked off of YouTube. That was the permanent ban I got because I did an analysis of her God is a Woman video. And in that analysis, I pointed out some occult beliefs that Ariana Grande was into. Now, don't we think this is also priceless that here you've got literal Hollywood pervos messing with kids physically, mentally, emotionally, yet they can have a whole ass YouTube channel and they can have a whole ass Nickelodeon studio. But if I talk about occult symbolism in the video of a performer, I get kicked off of YouTube. Isn't that something? Isn't that interesting? I mean, I hate to keep crying about my banned YouTube channel. In fact, my new YouTube channel is gaining a lot of subscribers, so maybe I'll take YouTube serious again someday. Right now, I'll post the video version of the show about a month after I release it on my feeds. And you can always go to allmylinks.com/IsaacW to find links to my YouTube channels. I got two of them now. I got one with 21,000 subs on it, which is, man, which one is that? Let me plug it real quick, because I want to build that baby back up to 75,000, because what a win that would be for me, because YouTube kicked me off, and they said I can never create another account, period, ever. And here I am with 20,000. It's at Isaac Weishaupt. That's the YouTube channel I want you to subscribe to, and I've got another one. You'll see it in the show notes to the videos. I post the link to the backup. Because they've shut down both of them, and they'll shut down the one channel, and then I'll go to the other one and put videos there until they let my big one open again. So yeah, go like and subscribe. Now, let me read you about her occult beliefs. Ariana Grande was on my radar for her conversion from Catholicism to Kabbalah when Madonna showed her the ways of this esoteric system. It is the practice of being a good person and how that will manifest good things in your life. People don't really realize that if you are kind, you can make all sorts of things happen for you. I actually love that. And you know what? I love Madonna. I don't care what you say. 80s Madonna was so formative in my life. Those songs, they are the best songs. One of my favorite songs ever is, I don't even know. She's got so many great songs from the 80s. And again, I'm always a let's separate the art from the artist kind of person. I think she's a weirdo now. Don't get me wrong. But I'd lie if I didn't say I was a big fan still. But yeah, she converted Britney Spears to Kabbalah and Ariana Grande to Kabbalah. If Madonna ever called me, I'd be like, you know what, Madonna, maybe I'll try it out. Let's see. Because like I said, I'm a weak Christian. I'm a terrible Christian. I'm definitely not. Buy a $60 Bible from Donald Trump, Christian. I'm definitely not that level, all right? She then got a tattoo on her finger of the Kabbalistic 72 names of God that she claimed to have meditated on before her performances. This is the name for the hidden God in Kabbalah that was also employed by the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which is ritual magic used by the likes of Aleister Crowley. And she also posted that the Kabbalah Tree of Life covertly or not so covertly in her video for Break Free, which it's Ariana Grande featuring Zed. Check that out. She was also interviewed by Complex Magazine and revealed that she had contact with demons after flying over one of the gates to hell. It seems they were chasing after her, and I think they've possessed her body at this point. I say this kind of joking. Okay, I'm going to read you from Complex. Have you ever seen an alien? Not an alien, but I've had a ghost demon experience. We were in Kansas City a few weeks ago and went to this haunted castle and were so excited. The next night, we wanted to go to Stahl Cemetery, which is known as one of the seven gates to hell on earth. The Pope won't fly over it. I felt this sick, overwhelming feeling of negativity over the whole car, and we smelled sulfur, which is the sign of a demon. And there was a fly in the car randomly, which is another sign of a demon. I was like, this is scary. Let's leave. I rolled down the window before we left and said, we apologize. We didn't mean to disrupt your peace. Then I took a picture, and there are three super distinct faces in the picture. They're faces of textbook demons. The person asked to see the picture. Ariana says, I deleted it. The next day, I tried to send the picture to my manager, and it said, this file can't be sent. It's 666 megabytes. I'm not kidding. I used to have a folder called Demons that had pictures with all the screen caps in it. But then weird things started happening to me, so I deleted it. I was going to sleep about 2 weeks ago. I had just gotten off the phone, and as soon as I closed my eyes, I heard this really loud rumble right by my head. When I opened my eyes, it stopped immediately. But when I closed my eyes, it started again with whispers. Every time I closed my eyes, I started seeing these really disturbing images with, like, red shapes. Then I opened my eyes and got back on the phone and was like, I'm really scared, and I don't want to go to bed tonight. And then I scooched over to the left side of my bed, because that's where the best service is in my room, and there was this massive black matter. I don't know what it was. It was like a cloud of something black right next to me. I started crying. I was on the phone like, what do I do? What do I do? And they said, tell it to F off. I thought, I'm not going to do that. It's going to upset it. So I'm just going to chill and not feed into it because all it wants is fear. It feeds on fear. I wanted it to, I watched it move to the front of my bed. Then I fell asleep on the phone. I woke up and it was gone. The next night, my friend Tyler was staying with me. She said she was trying to sleep and her body felt paralyzed almost, and she described the exact same thing that I saw. So Ariana Grande has had quite the journey, and she's had a lot of dark influences here. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, Isaac, are you saying that she was responsible for that terrible concert tragedy that happened? No, I'm absolutely not. But I am saying that you start messing with dark stuff happens. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's why I don't do ghost hunting anymore. But look, I get it. I get the fascination. I've always been fascinated with this stuff. So no judgments. I just know that you start asking for demons and ghosts and UFOs to happen. And I'm starting to wonder if that... I've been reading about the Black... what do you call it? The Black Brotherhood. And there's this idea that we manifest stuff from the unified field. They don't call it the unified field. That's my interpretation, based on science and David Lynch's Transcendental Meditation. But I do think you focus your energies towards things and they can manifest. I do believe that. But let's keep picking on Nickelodeon because they've got more skeletons in their closet that they didn't bring up. Let's look at the Ren and Stimpy creator, John Crickfalusi. I'm going to read you from New York Times because, again, I'm not getting involved with any of these allegations. I'm just reading to you from the news. It's been more than 15 years, but Robin Bird is drawing again. Ms. Bird, 37, is one of two women who last week accused John Crickfalusi, the creator of the influential cartoon The Ren and Stimpy Show, of grooming her for a sexual relationship when she was a minor in the 1990s. In a report in BuzzFeed News and subsequent interviews with the New York Times, Ms. Bird and Katie Rice, 36, said the animator began to correspond with them when they were teenagers. Ms. Bird said that Mr. Crickfalusi, now 62, first began to write to her when she was 14. She had reached out to him after becoming enamored with his work and the idea of being an animator. When she was 16, she said, he flew her to Los Angeles, where she says he touched her genitals through her pajamas. What is going on? Where are the parents? I'm going to keep reading. In summer of 1997, she lived with him while working as an intern at his animation studio, Spumco. At the time, she said, she considered their relationship romantic, though it was often turbulent. She moved out of his house permanently in 2002. By that point, the act of drawing had become so associated with Mr. Crickfalusi for her that she had all but stopped doing it, she said. Ms. Rice said that Mr. Crickfalusi also began hitting on her when she was underage. He offered her a job when she was 18, and once she was his employee, began sexually harassing her, she said. Behavior that was aggravated by Ms. Bird's departure from his life. Which is a real bummer. I loved Ren and Stimpy. In fact, I think I've got the first comic, their first Ren and Stimpy comic, like issue number one, if I'm not mistaken, and it came with 3D glasses. There's a video clip of John Crickfalusi saying he was so smitten by her personality in her letters when she was 14. And he apparently talked about all this. There's a Happy, Happy, Joy, Joy documentary. I haven't seen it. Apparently he talks about it there. Next, Liz Gillies. She was an actress on Victorious. And she was underage. She ends up marrying this guy, Michael Corcoran, who was the composer for the show. He was born in 1972. She was born in 1993. It's like a 20-year difference here. And I'm going to read you from Wiki. Gillies met American music producer Michael Corcoran on the set of the Nickelodeon show Victorious when she was 16 and he was 36. Corcoran co-wrote and produced the songs that Gillies sang on the show. The pair began dating in 2012. And if that's true, she would have been 19 years old. I already did the math. If I go to his Wikipedia page, it says, on August 8th, 2020, Corcoran married actress Elizabeth Gillies at a private ceremony in New Jersey after the pair began dating in late 2014, having met each other on the Nickelodeon show Victorious. And if that's true, she would have been 21 years old. So we've got two false dates, and from every smutty little thing I've seen on the internet, the claim is that she started working at Victorious as a child, you know, like 15, 16 years old, 17, because they're still married, right? And she's talked about this, and she said, look, I was attracted to the guy, and we didn't do anything until she was of legal age. Which, okay, I guess. I mean, talk about barely legal. And plus, he's, you know, 20 years older. You know what I mean? Like this, I don't know. That's, things get dicey here. Especially when you knew the person as a teenager, that's morally murky, as they said in part one when we talked about it. Oh my gosh. Okay, now for the real salacious stuff. Jamie Lynn Spears, Britney's sister, allegedly had been impregnated by Dan Schneider. Let's talk about what that theory and conspiracy and allegation. Back in 2007, it's alleged that she posted this article on that same crazydayandnights.net blog called Okay, Okay, It's Time. I'm going to read to you from it. As you know, on October 5th, 2007, I ran the following blind item. Number one, and I assume this is referring to this information provided from allegedly Jamie Lynn Spears. Number one, I don't even know how you define what list someone is when they are on some ensemble show watched by teens and preteens. So go with the above and make her a female. Make her pregnant, which is causing the producers to have a heart attack because they really don't need any more scandals. But wait, there's more. One of the producers who was old enough to be her grandfather shouldn't be having a heart attack because of shock, because he is the one who knocked her up. New boyfriends are being lined up as we speak. I had run a blind item about the same incident 1 month earlier, but at that time I only knew Jamie Lynn Spears was pregnant, but didn't know by whom. Still don't know by whom, just their approximate age and position. So yes, you as readers were the first to know, and now we can let the tabloids do what they do best and make the life of the guy who did it an absolute hell. It is because of the reporting of Star and other reports that are now surfacing that this is finally starting to come to light. And then people take photos of Dan Schneider versus this baby, because Jamie Lynn Spears had the baby, and named Maddie. And people say, okay, Maddie looks just like Dan Schneider. And they, I mean, I get it. They look kind of similar, but her official baby daddy was Casey Aldridge. And the claim is that, well, Casey was the setup from Nickelodeon to avoid the scandal. Because, and if you look at it, Maddie looks a lot like Casey. So I certainly don't know. Finally, Boy Meets World, another show I know nothing of, has actors Ryder Strong and Will Friedle. Both of them wrote letters in support of Brian Peck, I guess, is what they're saying. And in a recent podcast, they said they were misled by Peck, and now they feel ashamed for supporting him. Okay, it says, both Friedel and, this is on BuzzFeed, both Friedel and Strong, who shared a close relationship with Peck in spite of their age gap, claimed that they were only aware of the crimes that he'd pled no contest to, not the several others he was charged with. They also claimed that Peck had managed to convince them he was the victim in the case by telling them he had been worn down by his accuser. Yes, he committed this act, but he committed the act after being manipulated himself. Now, Drake, so they basically say, hey, like, we got duped into this. We didn't mean to do that, which I wonder if that's what Kimmy Robertson's excuse is. I don't know. Drake, but I still am like, dude, you're still admitting this stuff happened. Maybe not to the extent of the charges, but anyways, Drake Bell implied that these two were just trying to get ahead of the documentary, because this claim only dropped a couple months before the documentary. Which leads me to charges against Drake Bell, which they didn't go into. It says here on that same article, it's important to note that Drake Bell was charged with attempted endangering of children and disseminating matter harmful to juveniles back in 2021. He initially pled not guilty, though later pled guilty to both charges. His alleged victim claimed that Drake had groomed her from the age of 12 before sexually assaulting her when she was 15 and he was 31. His attorney disputed part of the alleged victim's statements, including her claim that Drake had sexually abused her. Drake was not charged with sexual abuse. He was sentenced to 2 years of probation and 200 hours of community service in July of 21. Ugh. See what I'm saying? I don't want to research this anymore. I'm done with it. Oh my goodness. It's terrible. I don't like it at all. So in conclusion, everyone's weird in Hollywood, I guess. but just when I was done wrapping up, I found this article from Sunday, March 24th on Yahoo. According to a former Nickelodeon star, the network had sent out computers that had child pee on them and an investigation that was never launched. Amber Frank, who is known for her time on Nickelodeon's The Haunting Hathaway, is dropping a bombshell accusing the network of some illegal things that they seemingly covered up. After the docuseries aired, Amber Frank took to her Instagram stories to tell the public about a shocking experience she endured at Nickelodeon. Quote, Nickelodeon sent computers over to production when we were starting filming the show, and when they turned on, there was child pee on there, she said, adding that nobody was held accountable. There was no investigation. It's beyond heartbreaking to know that a company that was employing children failed miserably at protecting them. Not a good look for Nickelodeon. If you got stock, sell it. That's not financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor. My main thoughts here are, how much do these kids and parents care? You know what I mean? The one guy from All That, we talked about this in part one, he was mad at his mom for getting him kicked off the show, knowing that all this stuff's happening. Now, there's something intoxicating about Hollywood and fame and fortunes, and I get it. I'm not above it. I understand. But to the extent that parents and the kids are willing to put up with this is wild to me. And to me, I'm trying to compare it to something like the NFL, which, as you know, I'm now a sports ball guy. I now watch the football, go Las Vegas Raiders. But, you know, with football, we're okay with the idea that kids are getting brain injuries, right? Young kids play football and they get head injuries from all the hits. And I think as a culture, we kind of look the other way and say, yeah, but football's pretty fun to watch. And the players get something out of it. They get fame and fortune and wealth. I don't know. I mean, it's a tough call here. I can see both sides of the argument. And, you know, Usher's mom, allegedly, she is talking about suing Diddy because he paid her to take Usher to these parties. Where's Usher's mom in all this? They had to take Usher to the hospital for blood coming out of a certain place. I don't know if that's real. Again, like I said, I've been on the seedy, dark corners of TikTok with shady references that don't link up. So who knows what's real? But man, it's a weird time to be into this strange stuff of looking at the dark side of Hollywood and entertainment. So I don't know what we're going to do next week, but we're not doing a Nickelodeon part three. I know that. So anyways, thank you for listening to the show. I know this isn't fun stuff. It's important to know. I think the takeaway is, parents, be careful with your kids. I mean, you can't shelter them too hard, but man, don't drop them off with the adult man who's trying to take them to Disneyland for the day or whatever. Okay. All right. That's my moral of the story, I guess. If you like the show, if you want to get back to occult religions and symbolism of occult ideas baked into entertainment, subscribe to my show. If you like the show, give me a 5-star review to counter all the 1-star haters, because I got 1-star haters on there. I need a 5-star lover to counter a 1-star hater. And if you really love the show, you can go ad-free. I got 3 supporter options, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Or you could hit the button on the Apple Premium. That's the easiest one. Or you want the cheapest one, you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com and sign for the VIP section. It's a little clunky. I got to send you a private RSS link. You got to drop it into a compatible app. But if you can handle that, you can save a few bucks. All right, links are always in the show notes. Till next time, stay positive.